Well, Robin, this morning we're going to talk about our favorite four-legged friends, and a guy that has a lot to do with saving them is our friend, the Dog Is My Co-Pilot founder and president and pilot, Dr. Peter Gorp. Hello, Peter.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Now, it's Peter Rourke, Peter Tork. That was one of the monkeys.
Yeah, that was one of the monkeys, yeah. Don't
but anyway, I recall speaking with you before, very distinctive name, Dog Is My Co-Pilot. Can you just give us a thumbnail sketch of what your organization does for folks who don't know?
Yeah, I founded Dog Is My Co-Pilot a little over 8 years ago, right after the passing of my wife, in tribute to her, who is a huge animal rescue advocate. And we're based in Polson. The aircraft is based in Polson, Montana. And what we do is we provide the long-distance transports for those shelters that are completely overrun and have a very long euthanasia rate. And we'll fly these animals 900 to 1,100 nautical miles away to facilities that will accept them and are non-kill facilities. So every dog that gets on the plane has a golden ticket, and we fly. Currently, we're flying 6 days a week trying to fulfill these missions.
That is wild.
How many canine lives have you saved, you think, Peter?
Well, I could break it down between canines and feline, the overall number is now in excess of 15,000. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of chihuahuas and a lot of pit bulls and a lot of huskies.
Okay, now you said canines and felines. Do you do the same service for cats, too?
Yeah, it's usually a mix on each flight. If we have an exclusive dog flight, that's the most common. We have about 20% of our flights will mix cats and dogs. It's been a while since we've had a cat-only flight. It hasn't been since last year since we've had the call to do that.
Okay.
See, Robin's got a cat farm out at his place.
Yeah, I got a bunch of cats out there, but I was thinking that saying, they fight like cats and dogs. What are those flights like, anyway?
Well, the cats are quite vocal during the whole trip, and the dogs, I mean, if those of you out there who have a dog and they want to go ride in the car with you, and they don't really care where you're going, they just want to go along. But then they curl up in the back and they lie down and they're nice and quiet.
Yeah.
But usually I have one little yapper that's in a crate, and that crate is usually immediately behind my head talking to me.
Of course.
I know, the entire flight.
Well, it's impressive what you've done for so many of our four-legged friends. How about COVID-19 now? What has that done for your organization?
Well, it's affected everybody, and Dog Is My Co-Pilot as well. Practice the usual precautions when we're picking up and dropping off animals, with our social distancing and wearing a face mask as necessary. But the big area that has dropped off our radar is the Seattle area. And, as a physician, I know that there are medical issues, political issues, and media issues. And Seattle has been hit especially hard. So they haven't taken any animals from any facility that we've been involved with since April of this year.
I wasn't aware that animals could pass on the COVID-19.
No, that's an interesting point, because animals do not pass COVID-19, but there is a segment that will latch on to any fear, sadly. And in Portland, for a while, people were abandoning their animals, thinking that they were the mediator of the pathogen, and that's just not true.
Dr. Peter Rourke is our guest. Dog Is My Co-Pilot is his organization. And we're going to ask you about how we can help you not have to work so hard right after this. We're joined today by Peter Rourke. He is the author. He is the president of Dog Is My Copilot. And now, I don't know, maybe I'm saying this wrong, but I did seem to remember that you wrote a book about this.
Not me. I have not written a book, although I've got a lot of stories in me, especially ones I don't want my children to read.
How many hours do you have in the air as a pilot at this point?
I'm just coming up on 9,000 total hours. It's when I started the nonprofit, I was flying about 100, 150 hours a year. And for the last 8 years or so, I've been flying more than 500 hours a year. Now, I will admit that towards the end of the last flying season, I was just getting a little burned out. And so I was able to bring on three pilots to help me with the duties. So instead of flying 3 or 4 days a week now, we're flying 5 or 6 days a week now. And so the number of animals that we're saving have increased significantly. So when I bought the Caravan, which is the larger hauling aircraft 4 years ago, that really changed the dimensions of the number of animals that we're saving.
And the Caravan's a really big aircraft, and they use those a lot in underdeveloped countries because they can land and take off in short spaces, and they can carry a lot of payload.
They are really haulers, and I will wager that my Caravan is the only Caravan in the country that actually has mud flaps.
Okay, that's interesting.
Now, okay, let's talk a little bit about how dogs wind up and cats wind up in shelters where they eventually could be euthanized.
Well, most of these animals will come from the South. Our sending partners are in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and primarily the Central Valley of California. And these animals are primarily picked up as strays, and they are not fixed, spayed, or neutered. And some of them are owner surrender, but most of them are strays. And these organizations can take in 100 a day. And so they do what they can. They have three options. They can adopt the dogs out, they can foster them out, or they can euthanize them. And sadly, some of these organizations still will have a situation where 80% of the animals that come through the front door will never make it out alive. So this is where we step in. Now, I also want to point out that, you know, everybody wants to talk to, you know, Dog Is My Copilot and the pilot, and that's kind of the sexy thing. But the real heroes here are the people who work in the shelters, both the sending and the receiving. My involvement with these animals lasts 6, maybe 8 hours, and then I go home and it's happy hour. These folks will spend days and weeks and months with these animals, grooming them, socializing them, feeding them, exercising them. They're the ones who really deserve the real credit for the success of saving the dogs and the cats.
Okay, now you pick up animals and you deliver them. Am I getting this right? I don't understand how that works exactly.
Well, he picks them up at a place where they're likely to be euthanized and takes them to another animal shelter where they have room for them.
So you're flying out of Polson, and you might be hitting two different markets then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Actually, dozens of markets. So we'll fly out of Polson, and we'll deadhead out of here and pick up crates along the way from our previous stops, and we'll fly either down to Dallas or Fort Worth or Abilene or Odessa or Lubbock, Texas, Laredo, Hobbs, New Mexico, Roswell, New Mexico, Las Cruces, El Paso, the Phoenix and Casa Grande area, Central Valley of California, which means Modesto, Stockton, Merced, Bakersfield, Van Nuys, California, and the northern basin area down there. And then we fly them north. So we only fly from nonprofit to nonprofit, so we don't do any private transports. Otherwise, we'd be inundated with requests. And we only fly from a facility that is overrun and uses euthanasia as one of their animal numbers management tools, and will only fly to organizations that will never put down a healthy animal.
And I guess my question is what, I guess it's just the overpopulation, so it's about spaying and neutering.
Spay and neuter is the answer. That's the first answer, the middle answer, and the last answer. And if people would just exercise that, and I understand there are a lot of reasons why people can't get their animals to spay and neuter. They can't afford them. They don't have a program that provides that. They don't have transportation to get to the facility that will spay and neuter. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. So one is either part of the problem or they're part of the solution. And to be part of the solution, spay and neuter is really the key. I do want to give a shout out to Kara Pollard, who is my executive director. And really, her title is better to be, air traffic control. This is a woman who organizes all the comings and goings of Dogs as My Co-Pilot, is in contact with every individual and every group. I will text her constantly from the air, giving her updates, and it's she does a wonderful job, and I couldn't do it without her. I also want to mention the three pilots, Brent Blue, Craig Colton, and Jeff Carter, who have joined me for this year, and so far have been a huge asset to Dog as my co-pilot, allowing us to essentially double the numbers that we're able to save.
Well, now that we understand what you are doing as Dog is My Co-Pilot, what can we do? We're going to ask Dr. Peter Rourke about that after this.
Really nice conversation this morning with Dog is My Co-Pilot's founder, president, and pilot, part of the time now, not 6 days a week, Dr. Peter Rourke. And very interesting, you must have quite the organization or a system set up to call these different shelters to find out what animals are available, especially if they utilize euthanasia. They must have people that don't want to put those animals down that are looking to cooperate with you, correct?
That's exactly right. And so the receiving groups will contact the sending groups, and they'll tag the animals that they feel that they can best foster and adopt out. And it used to be all little, Chihuahuas and Chiweenies and little terrier mixes. But more recently, we've been flying much larger animals, and Huskies in particular. And they became very popular with the TV show Game of Thrones. And so everybody wanted a Husky puppy, but they had no idea just how time-consuming a breed like that can be. They need a lot of exercise. They're voyagers, so they're constantly running away. They need grooming constantly. You should see my aircraft after I transport a couple Huskies. It is really just kind of full of hair. Anyway, there really are four things that your listeners can do to cross over that line from becoming part of the problem to becoming part of the solution. They can go by their local shelter and they can adopt an animal, or better yet, adopt two, because they can keep each other company. And remember, for every animal that you save, you're saving two, the one that you save and the one that takes its place. Now, if you can't adopt an animal, or if you don't want to commit to that, perhaps you can go by and foster the animal and help them out in getting the animals domesticated, because a lot of these animals, which were picked up as strays, really could use that guidance, teaching them how to walk on a leash, how to interact with other dogs so they're not so aggressive if that's their bent. The third thing that they can do is they can go by the shelter and they can volunteer. They can change the water. They can feed the animals. They can groom the animals, exercise the dogs, clean out the stalls. Honestly, these people could really use the help. And then the fourth thing is, if you can't do any of the first three, you can donate. I mean, we can really stretch out a $5 bill in ways that you can't imagine. And the sending groups, they're rubbing two nickels together trying to get things done. Now, Dog is My Co-Pilot is a 501c3. We're a nonprofit. We operate strictly on charitable donations, which are deductible. You can find our website at www.dogcopilot.org, O-R-G. And you'll see all the videos, and you'll see a picture of me, sadly. and you'll see, I've been told I have a face for radio. So it's you can see all the stories of all the hundreds and thousands of animals that we've saved. So that's what your listeners can do to be part of the solution.
All right. Okay. What a great conversation this morning. Dr. Peter Rourke, the president and founder of Dog is My Co-Pilot. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for your time, guys, and thank you for helping us get the word out.
Okay, sure enough, I just brought up the website, and you sound great on the radio.